for Fox Adder. I appreciate it, eh? And thank you for handling that and y'all being faithful to the house. That really blesses me because it allows me to know that I'm able to go do the things that God has told me to do occasionally, and I really appreciate that so much, and I bless you for that. Last time we got together, we talked about the prayer of warfare and victory. And remember, we always pray from victory. We don't pray for victory. You already got it. It's yours. It's already yours. The inheritance is yours. The victory is yours. The blood was shed for you. You have the right to stand in covenant relationship with God and raise holy hands without fear, without wrath, without doubting, and saying, I am blessed coming in, going out in the city, in the field. God is for me, and if God be for me, who could ever be against me? So, man, yeah, we don't pray. A lot of people just beg God. You don't have to beg him. You just stand in covenant truth. You declare these things. It would be like a child of the king begging outside the palace. You're not going to see that. The child has the right to go in and out of the palace and receive from his daddy, the king. Amen? Aren't you glad your daddy in heaven, your father in heaven, is the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords? Amen. And he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Remember, I said this, the number one key that delivers this realization and manifestation of victory into our lives is understanding the power of the cross. You got to understand what Jesus did. You got to understand how he annihilated your enemy. Even though your enemy still kicks and claws and balls and does what he does against us, he's still an enemy. But you have to go back to the cross and recognize that Jesus paid it all. You know, your eternity is sealed. It's secured in him when you know him and you're washed in the blood and your relationship, you know, is up to date with him and your heart is clean. Man, to know that one day we'll be in streets of gold and he's made a mansion for us, even if it turns out to be old muddy shack, I'm glad to be with Jesus. Amen. But the word declares that he's gone and built us that place. And I'm looking forward to the day that we can be with our Savior and our loved ones. Amen. But till then, we got a lot of work to do. So we talked about the long journey of the cross or before the cross. And we talked about that in Joshua chapter 10. And we're still going to talk about warfare, prayer, and victory as we go along. But the Lord really arrested my heart the other day to give you part two of the prayer of faith. And I'm going to do that. I want to obey the Lord on that. Part two on the prayer of faith. Let me give you some opening statements about that. We talked about the prayer of faith a while ago, and I want to just go back to this teaching, because there's some things that we really need to look at. And I'll do this ever so often through this journey. I'll go back to things and give you a part two, a part four, a part 10 as the Lord leads me. But let me give you the statement. Every ability that man has is found within his environment. Every ability that man has is found within his environment. Let me explain that. This is the natural function, this is his natural function. His talents, the process of life, learning, DNA, everything that a man has in his ability is found within his environment. You were born and you have certain talents, you have certain abilities, there are certain things about you that comes with your birth, that comes through inheritance, that comes through through the DNA process of your family. Then there's things that are learned inside of your environment, okay? So that's the natural function of a person. Every ability that man lacks is found outside of his environment, okay? These are just important statements that I'm going to build on that foundation and bring you some truths, okay? That's really going to help you and help me in my walk in faith, okay? So every ability that man lacks is found outside of his environment. This is his supernatural function. This is his supernatural function. And this is where he must rely on divine power or demonic power. Okay? So you have your natural environment, things you were birthed with, the gifts, things you can learn, talents, understanding. You go to the university, you go to a tech school, you go somewhere, you learn inside of that environment. But the things that we lack, that's found outside of our environment. Those are things that you and I cannot do in the natural. Write this down. Man is naturally, spiritually dead. Man is naturally, spiritually dead. Man, just go to the book of Romans. Paul does an awesome job on explaining the carnal side of us, the fleshly side, and how that we were sold under sin. We were born under sin. The carnal mind is at war with God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We have this battle going on in our flesh and all these different things. Well, that is the environment in which we were born into. But God wants us to tap into the supernatural function, those things that we can't do. They're on the outside of our natural abilities. When we were born again, we entered into the limitlessness of God. What is the limitlessness of God? It's called faith. So now I really do. I really want to preach right now. Something about y'all ought to get around you. I just want to preach. But I want to teach this to you on the prayer of faith and give you another dimension and understanding of faith. We can do this until Jesus comes back, till the Lord comes back, about faith, because faith is always expanding. There's more knowledge about faith. There's more teaching on faith. Nobody has cornered the market on any teaching in the Bible. No man. If they said they have, then you better watch them. You're about to go into a cult. But the reality is we are ever learning, ever increasing faith in God. So I want to now build on those statements that I gave you. Go to Mark chapter 11. Now, on the prayer of faith, part one, I ended with Mark chapter 11, and I just kind of highlighted and touched on it and jumped around a little bit there. But now I want to go a little deeper so that you can get a better understanding of faith and to, again, clarify and build on what I just said to you about the natural and the supernatural. When a man is not born again, he is dead to God. He's dead to the spiritual life of God. He doesn't desire God. He don't want to sit in the church. He don't want to be around anybody that speaks churchy type of language. How many of y'all been there before? I told you, when the Baptist came to my door to witness, I ran in the bathroom and hid. I don't know where you hid, but that's where I hid. And I didn't want nothing to do with no church folk. I knew I was dying going to hell. I didn't need nobody telling me. Amen. And so everything that I needed was outside of that environment that I lived in. And let's watch this take place. Mark chapter 11, are you there? Oh, I want to read the whole thing, but we're just going to. Jesus cleansed the temple. He goes in there, he cleanses out the temple, he does his thing. He brings righteousness into order. Now watch this in verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now Jesus had cursed the fig tree prior, didn't he? It didn't have what he needed. Verse 12, it shows you 12, 13, and 14. He said, no man's going to eat from you again. So it was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now I want you to see this for a second. You gotta stop reading the Bible in Bible language, in preacher language. You gotta read the Bible with your imagination and understanding so you can see the whole picture. Here is Peter. He's just a normal guy. He's working on becoming a disciple. He ain't an apostle yet. He's just like you and I. We just got saved, and we're trying to figure out left and right, and we're figuring out which hand do we lift during service, and is it 9% I give to God, or is it 11% or no percent? and all those things we struggle with Christianity. And here's Peter, and he says, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, it's been withered and it's been dried up at the very roots. Think about this for a second. Peter never saw that before.
Tonight.
He never witnessed it before. He never experienced it before. He never saw something like that take place. But here he is now entering into the dimension of faith that Jesus revealed to him. And now he sees something he never saw before. He experiences something he never experienced before. He watched a fig tree become cursed and dried up at the roots. It was outside of his natural environment. It just didn't happen every day. It just didn't take place every day. It's not something that he was accustomed to. And he watched the master at work expose him to the divine dimension of faith. That's what we need today, is to be exposed to the divine nature and dimension of faith, to see things take place in our lives, to build in us an indelible mark and an indelible foundation of truth that all things are possible with God. That's what I love about prayer, and I love about laying hands. I love about believing and speaking to those that are on the cross and getting reports back from people. Don't you just love answered prayer? But see, that is faith in action. That builds faith inside of you, and it ever increases within you. So I was reading this. I'm looking. I'm like, wow, Father, that is totally awesome. He begins to enter into a dimension he never entered into before. It was beyond his understanding. It was beyond his revelation. He was now walking in an environment of faith. Listen, it's something that Peter couldn't learn in school. You can't teach faith. You can teach it in the precepts and understanding, if you will, quote unquote, and I say that very loosely, the formula of faith. But the reality is faith must be caught more than it's taught. Now, it can come to you through teaching, but you got to catch the teaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith does not come by reading the phone book. I just blew some of y'all away. Y'all put your phone book down. It doesn't come by reading the phone book or the comics or the Sunday papers or Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is out there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the word hearing there means repetitive hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. There's an overlay, if you will, of the constant understanding of the word of God that builds faith. Isn't that right? And so Peter, he never experienced anything like this. He'd never seen any type of miracle like this, at least in this natural dimension. And here it is being exposed to him. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have faith like Jesus. Have faith, the miracle working power faith. So he looks at him and says, Peter, this ain't anything, man. But if you have faith in God, you can do the same thing. You can operate in the same dimension. Now remember, these guys were totally blown away. These disciples who were on the way to become great apostles of faith, they were blown away. You just got to go back to Matthew 8:27 when Jesus calmed the storm. And what did they say? What manner of man is this? Translate means, what kind of man is this? Well, we think he's the Messiah. We're kind of believing he's the Messiah because, man, this is what Isaiah and the other prophets said he would be like when he came to Israel and came through Jerusalem. But I'm telling you, what kind of man is this? This man is walking in a dimension I've never seen before. This man is showing me something outside of my educational environment. This man, Jesus, is showing me something outside of my religious environment. Woo, I'm ready to preach now. And that's what we need in America. We need in our churches today ministers, women of God, people of God that operate outside of the natural environment and step into the supernatural of God and show you faith that's real and that's alive. Amen. The blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, lame walk, the dead be rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to expose them to a dimension they never knew before. What manner of man is this, that even the waves and the storm and the clouds and every aspect of the storm has to obey him? I'll tell you what kind of manner of man he is. He's a man of faith. God wants us to be men and women of faith, where we trust in him and we don't lean on the arm of man. I'm not getting any help out of this Presbyterian church, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You just got to stir your faith up, and you got to say, you know what? I'm not going to depend on people. I'm not going to depend on things. I'm going to depend on God and walk in the supernatural. Yes, sir. He said, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you. You ought to put your name in there. For verily I say unto Benjamin. For verily I say unto you. Because he's talking to you. He's talking to me. Verily I say unto you, Benjamin, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now let me give you the progression here. I'm going to give you five progressions in this. First of all, the word say. Let me give you this in the Greek. Epo. E-P-O. It's 2036. It's very easy. Obviously, it means to speak, but it also means to command. To command. For verily I say unto you, first of all, he's talking to the person that has faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, number one, you got to speak specifically. This is the prayer of faith. We're talking about speaking faith. Faith isn't hope that's built upon fantasy. Faith is hope built upon expectancy of facts. Faith steps out on facts, not some type of fairy tale. Well, I hope so. Maybe God will be there. I don't know. So we'll see. No, faith says the fact is this, the word of God declares, so on and so forth, and that's what I believe. So number one, speak specifically. For verily I say unto you that whosoever say unto this mountain. What mountain? This mountain. Specifically, this mountain. Most Christians, well, I don't know, that hill over there looks good. Yeah, well, you know, I'm over here. Shotgun Christianity, just shooting everywhere, just hoping it lands somewhere and hoping it works out. No, honey, this mountain right there, that mountain right in front of me, whatever that mountain is, you got to get out of my face. You got to go. Now, I don't know about you, when I first got saved, I read this scripture. I was like, man, I'm going to go find me a mountain. I'm going to speak to that thing. All of us did. Move! Ugh, ow, my back, that hurt. Come on, everybody wave at me if you've done that. And if you're lying, I open the altars up right now. Look at your mother-in-law. Move! No, I'm just kidding. That didn't work. Or whatever it was. We all done it, but we didn't understand. Jesus was not saying a literal mountain. He was talking about the obstacle in your life that looks like a mountain. Something that's insurmountable. Something that's so huge. We don't teach that. We got people out there all speaking to the Mount Rushmore and, you know, all these different mountains. I mean, please don't drive your car at 150 miles an hour towards a mountain and tell it to move. You better hit the brakes, buddy. Right? Because it ain't going to move. You ain't going to move it, and you're going to be toast. How's that? But we teach crazy faith. We teach things that's full of hyper, and we get people out there screaming at the sun and the moon and all this craziness. When, look, you got to be specific, and you speak to that mountain. If that mountain is physical ailment, then you speak to that mountain specifically. If it's finances, then you go to that finance and you say, I tell you in the name of Jesus, you got to go. If it's a financial problem, you know, economic problem, whatever it is. Okay? So speak specifically. For verily I say unto you, who? Me. the guy that's full of faith, the gal that's full of faith, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Number two, you have to speak with authority and direction. You have to speak with authority and direction. Be thou removed. You don't walk up to your mountain and say, excuse me, Mr. Mountain, can you get out of my way, please? I want to get over there, but you're in my way. No, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. In other words, get out of the way, Jack. Get out of my face, you mountain of debt. Get out of my way, depression. Get out of my way, oppression. Whatever it is, get out of my way, you big giant mountain, because I speak to you in authority. Jesus is taking him on an illustrated sermon and saying, Peter, you want to know how I curse this thing down to its very roots? Have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. Look at that mountain, whatever that obstacle is, and tell that thing to get out of here. Because I don't know how many of you have gone out and cursed a fig tree lately. I know what I can do with the corn when I put it in the ground. It don't do anything for me. Some of y'all can grow corn. I can't. I'm not a good corn grower. Amen. I just can't. I don't know what's going on with that, man. I need some, y'all pray for me. So be thou removed and be cast into the sea. In other words, move the mountain to where you never see it again. Too many Christians accept the mountains in their lives, so they go around them again. Take another lap. Take another lap. Take another lap. Keep looking at the base of the mountain. Keep looking at the peak of the mountain. Look at the base of the mountain. Look at the peak of the mountain. And you never tell it with authority and command it to get out of here for good. That's a lot of our problems in the house of God today. That's a lot of problems that we have in our own personal walk with God, and our sins and our habitual sins and our cycles. We continue to trip back over, go right back into the vomit, go right back into the sin, go right back into the addiction. Is it? Am I preaching good? And we continuously fall on the mountain and trip over this mountain, and we never get free from it. Jesus said, speak to this mountain and tell it to get out of here and get into the sea. Not on your authority and not on mine, but on his. Do you see this? Peter is stepping back, and in the natural, he's like, man, he cursed that thing and it's dead. Look at it, it's dead. But he didn't understand the dimension in which Jesus was trying to show him and teach him and thrust him into. He was trying to thrust him into the dimension of faith and the supernatural ability of God that he didn't possess. That's why religious people can't handle this teaching, because they walk in the natural aspects of religiosity and routine that they've been taught at some seminary. Instead of the expansion and the expression of faith that comes by living a life after Christ. Because remember this, I've said this a million times from this pulpit over the years. God will never create a world for you where faith is not needed. Never. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much money stuff you got put away, no matter anything you do, God will never create a world where faith is not needed. Woo! So get over it, honey. You're going to have to walk by faith. Me too. Me too. I still got to walk by faith. No matter how much God gives, no matter how far we go in life, we got to walk by faith. The just shall. Underline it, capitalize it, highlight it, block it out, or, you know, put blocks around it. The just shall live by faith. I love this, man, because this is bringing me into another dimension of faith. I need another dimension of faith. I need to go into another level of faith for where this church is going, for what God's going to do with us. I have to. I can't hang where I was before. I can't be on the low part of the fruit there. I got to get higher up in God. All right, so let's do that. You want to go with me? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Third thing is, there's no room for doubt. Got to get the doubt out. You got to get the doubt out. How do I get the doubt out, Pastor? You get it out first by the Word of God. by repeating the Word of God, by practicing the Word of God, by practicing faith. You have to do that. Listen, if you go and you try to cast that mountain into the sea and it doesn't move, try again. If you can only chip away out of it, if you could just knock the peak down, maybe you can blast a big hole through it and you're making progress. It doesn't matter. Don't stop. Continue to chisel your way through until you have enough faith to see that thing removed from you. See, most Christians stop when they don't see evidence because they don't have enough tenacity within them and fortitude. The Lord taught me that years ago about fortitude. He said, you got to have fortitude in faith. You got to have fortitude in your walk. You got to continue to be have your back like a T-rail, man, just like the man of steel, the woman of steel. You got to continue to move forward. Most Christians, once they hit resistance, you know, God's not for me on this one. I guess I have to live with this. I guess I always have this addiction. I guess it's going to be okay. Besides, it's prescribed. Y'all didn't catch that part. More Christians are hooked on prescribed drugs than any other type of drug out there. I'm not saying you need it for your health. I understand that. But I'm just talking about those that pop it just to pop it. I don't take them. I don't take them. I don't take aspirins. I don't take it. I take a Flintstone once in a while. Those are awesome. They get in your teeth. And I had to say that. You're all looking mean to me. But the reality is this. We have to continue to chisel away at the mountains that are before us before we can see them cast in the sea sometimes. But Jesus said, don't doubt. So the third thing is you got to get the doubt out of you. But shall believe those things. Believe those things. Believe those things. What does that mean to believe? The word believe there in the Greek means to be persuaded. It's one thing to make mental ascension to something. Yeah, because I see it all the time at church. Yeah, amen, Pastor. Everybody does the bobblehead Christian thing, but not everybody's persuaded. Well, I don't know. You get home and you doubt yourself out of it. You ever done that? You ever talked yourself out of something the preacher said and you doubted yourself out of it? A lot of people do that with giving. They doubt themselves out. Oh, I doubt God will take care of all of my needs, so I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give because I'm afraid to let go of what's in my hand because I don't know if he's going to let go of what's with his hand. Ain't that what the preacher said? But if you've tried God and it's been tested and proved to you, then you become persuaded. You're persuaded that no matter what, God's going to supply your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It'll make no difference. It doesn't make any difference if people are with you or without you, for you or against you, with you or outside the door. It doesn't make a difference. You're persuaded that your God will take care of you. That's amazing to me, Brother Tony. The more people are persuaded that when they die, they're going to go to heaven, but they're not persuaded God will take care of them tomorrow. I'm going to jump down here in my yellow shoes. I mean, isn't it the truth? We're more persuaded in the things that are carnal and natural than we are things that are supernatural. And that's why we can't get a lot of stuff done in the body of Christ. We're having to go back to the basic tenets of the faith. Y'all still my friend? He shall not doubt in his heart, but he shall believe the things which he saith. I'm persuaded that mountain's got to get out of my way. I'm persuaded. Yeah, I may come back with just a shovel full this one trip, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get a pickaxe next time, buddy, and I'm going to keep picking away. I might only have just a little cart full, but I'm going to go order me a dump truck because I'm going to get this sucker out of my way. See, that's tenacity. That's believing God. That's laying hands on these things, these prayer requests, every single service, and believing God no matter what. That's a mountain in somebody's life. We're going to help them move it. However long it takes. We all got family members that need to get born again, don't we? Well, we got to speak to that mountain, whatever's in their way, and continuously command that thing to get out. Get cast in the sea. It might take me one rock at a time, but I'm going to get that mountain. Well, that's too hard. My nails. Pastor. Oh, Can you do it for me, Pastor? Can you just go ahead and move this mountain for me? No, you get up and pray and speak to that mountain yourself. I'll help bring water to you and wipe your brow off, but you need to do it. Because I got my own mountain. How many of y'all got mountain ranges? I mean, somebody said, Pastor, I don't have an anthill. I got a mountain range. Well, pick one and start talking to it. Pick it. Man, I feel good tonight. I feel Cuba good. Cuba good. Shall not doubt in his heart, but he shall believe the things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall what? Have whatsoever he saith. The fifth thing you got to do is receive it. You got to speak specifically. You got to speak with authority and direction. You got to have no doubt. You got to be persuaded, and you've got to receive it. What does that mean, Pastor? I got to receive it. Well, listen, anybody could receive the gift when it's already been handed to you. You got to receive it before you ever get it. You've got to have a heart of reception. You've got to look at that mountain and see the reward on the other side and already receive it. I am going to receive that gift. Why? Because I'm persuaded. I'm going to get out of this debt in Jesus' name, and I'm going to pay everything off in my life. I ain't going to owe no man anything. Woo-wee! And I'm going to get on the other reward of that mountain, and that reward may just be sleeping one good night knowing I don't owe anybody anything. Wouldn't that be nice? Just one night or two or a month, or how about a whole year knowing you don't owe nobody nothing except your light bill, phone bill, and a few other small things that you can't help. Well, start speaking to your mountain. Start speaking. It's going to take faith. It's going to cause you to do something you've never done before. Well, see, that's what Jesus was showing him. Now watch verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, who? Benjamin. I don't know if he's talking to you all, but I know he's talking to me. Therefore, I say unto you, Benjamin, Ignited Church, whatso things you desire, when, not if, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So Jesus brings it down to a little easier understanding. And he clarifies. He says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Is he lying? Never has, never could, never will. So he just said that when you pray, not if, but when you pray, you got to be persuaded that you're going to believe for these things and they're going to take place. Isn't that right? I told this story a long time ago, but I'm going to bring it up because every time I preach this part here, I really like bringing this story up. It's a testimony. It's about a lady who was married to a man, and the man cheated on her, went on cocaine, and left her. Everybody around her after year one, year two, year three would say, why don't you divorce the bum? He's gone. She said, I can't. I prayed Mark chapter 11. She said, I have prayed, and whatsoever desire when I pray, I shall receive them. Year 5, year 10, year 15 went by. Why don't you divorce the bum? He ain't coming back. She said, I can't. I just prayed Mark chapter 11. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you shall receive them. Year 20-something, I think it was 22 years went by. She continued to pray that prayer. He came back home clean as a whistle, forgiven, just on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost, and my pastor did their marriage vows over again, and as far as I know, they're living happily ever after. That was a mountain. I'm not telling everybody to do that. I don't know if you can do it. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know what's inside of you, but I do know this. That testimony has never left my life, that person stood on the word of God, stayed faithful, clean to herself and her God, and waited for her husband to come home, and she got whatever she desired when she prayed. It's amazing, isn't it? Can happen. All things are possible to those who believe. So, powerful truth. Now watch. Here's another key you have to see, and I'm going to go on to the last part of this teaching. And when you stand praying, forgive. Oh, man. Man. All the other faith teachers, they stop at 24. This is the key. It's written in red. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So Jesus ends it with a key that unlocks all that he just showed Peter, and he showed you, and he showed I. We got to forgive. We got to let it go. We got to let the hindrances going. And it proves to me that some of our mountains are tied into unforgiveness. I believe that. Because when I have an ought against you, I put a mountain in front of you. I put a problem in front of you. And I could trip you up because we got something going on with each other. And I might have thrown it at you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? But if I forgive and release you, you release me. That releases the power of faith to operate for both of us, doesn't it? God gets glorified, the mountain gets moved, the devil gets another crack across his crooked forehead. Whew. And Jesus, you know, he's glorified. Now, let's go to the book of James. I'm going to get out of your way. The book of James. And let's go ahead and let's read some other stuff here that is awesome, that will build our faith. How many of y'all like this here? This is all part of your prayer, building yourself up in faith, praying in faith. It's an incredible dimension we have yet to tap out or tap into, because it goes straight into the very character who God is. Now let's look at this. James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, the wisdom there is godly wisdom. That's not just knowing whether you should do this or do that tomorrow. This is the very character of God. This is the Sophia of God. It's the wisdom of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't play around with you. He's not going to trick you. He's going to give you the full amount. He's going to bless you. He's not going to pull back. He's not going to tease you. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer and said, God, give me wisdom? We all have. God doesn't dangle and say, well, I'm going to play with you. No, he gives you the wisdom you need. Okay? Because it's the divine character of himself. And he says, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. So I got to now operate in a dimension that's outside of my normal environment. What I'm going to operate now is not in my learned ability. It's not in what I was taught in university. It's not what I was taught by my parents. It's nothing that I read in a book. But let him ask in faith. Asking one faith. In other words, walking in the supernatural dimension of faith in God. Nothing wavering. I'm not going to... True faith doesn't waver. True faith does not waver, because true faith is built on the reality of the Word of God, on the stability of the Word of God, on the absolute of the Word of God. It doesn't have any room to say, well, I'm not really sure. Did you know that? Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Do you see that? He's tossed. Why are so many Christians tossed today? Why are so many Christians halt between two opinions? Why do we have such a division in the house of God, in the church of God, in the body of Christ, in the United States of America? Why do we have that? Because we don't operate in faith. We waver. We're not sure if God is for us. We're not sure if these are the last days. We're not sure. We're not sure. So we get tossed around like the wind and the waves. Watch verse 7. Let not that man, ladies, you can put women in there too, so you don't think you're excluded. Let not that man, that person, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wow. So the prerequisite to getting what Jesus said you can have is not to waver, but to stand in faith believing. I'm not talking about having natural concerns in your body and your mind. Listen, you can have a heart full of faith and a mouth or mind full of doubt. You really can. You got to have a heart full of faith and a mind full of doubt, because you're just like, I don't know how you're going to do this. But your heart takes over and says, uh-uh, this is what we're going to do. Just like when that big airplane shuts its door. Oh, my gosh, I got to go up in the air. Your heart of faith says, man, I'm going. I'm going. My faith says, go. Your mind says, I don't know how they're going to get this big, giant clunk of metal up in the air. Ain't no wings flapping, but we're going to make it. I still wonder how airplanes fly, don't you? Let not that man think that he receiveth anything of the Lord. Verse 8, here's the key, and I'm going to get out your way. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now watch this. Double-minded man means a double soul. In the Greek, this is what it means. It means a double soul, a double psuche, the mind of a man, the seat of emotions. Remember we talked about that on the battle for the mind? Y'all don't remember nothing I've said? You go to my website, it's free. You can go in the archive and listen to anything you want to. He said, double-minded man, a double soul, meaning this. You have one soul that is for heaven, and you have another soul that is for the earth. It cannot exist together and be successful. You can't. You cannot serve two gods. You cannot be double-minded, or you will be unstable in all your ways. Now, the word unstable means restless. Well, I want to go to that church because I really love his preaching. I love her singing. Oh, I really want to, but I don't know because, you know, they're so hard. I want to believe God, but I don't know. I like this habit. I mean, really, I know it's bad for me. They say, I'm going to get something wrong with me. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all looking at me like I've been in Cuba for a while. Hasn't been that many days. But the reality is we get unstable in our ways and we become restless. We become inconsistent with God. And I don't know about you. I don't like being around people who are inconsistent. Just wave at me. I promise you, Sarah, I'll be there at 4:00 to pick you up. 2 days later, I ain't even there. How many of y'all been around people like that? Listen, we need to be laser-focused in our lives the best that we possibly can. I love laser-focused people because they're committed, they're on time, they're loyal to the things that's before them. Is this good? Double-minded, two souls, one on earth and one in heaven. You cannot do that. You got to either grab hold of the one and let go of the other, or vice versa. You got to make a decision. I don't want to be earthly minded to where I just don't do what God wants me to do. Now watch this. I'm finishing. A double-minded man is unstable. He's restless. He's talking about that wave again. That's why you have Christian friends who crash against the wall, and they crash against the bricks, and they crash against the seawall, and you can't figure out, you know, you can't trust them. Yeah, I'll be there for church, and they don't show up, and yeah, I support, and they don't support, and just wave, nod your head, throw something at me. I mean, just do something. You know, they're just unstable. They're unstable in how many of their ways? In all their ways. The word ways there is hodos, H-O-D-O-S. Let me give you the number on it. 3598, hodos. What does the word hodos mean? It means on their journey, on their highway. They are unstable. They are restless. They are inconsistent on their highway, on their journey. That means they are unstable when you can see them and when you can't see them. I guarantee you, if they act that way on your job, they're going to be that way at church. If they act that way at church, they're going to be that way on your job. They're going to be that way for you and towards your family. They're going to be that way in public. They're going to be that way private because they're double-minded. To God, we get people that would walk in the singleness of mind and heart and faith. We can if we pray according to faith. We pray according to the Word of God. Amen? I wrote this down. When we pray the prayer of faith or pray in faith, We operate outside our natural abilities and environment. And we step into the reality of God, His kingdom, the dimension where all things are possible. As a believer, we must endeavor to stay in this dimension. How do I stay in this dimension, Pastor? How do I continue on my journey and my walk of faith and the highway of life? How do I stay in that position? You do it by faith. Simple faith. Trusting in God, being fully persuaded that at the end of my journey is going to be reward for what I've done in Him. That's good enough for me, isn't it? And the cool thing about it is not only will I get the blessings of God in the day that I see Him, you also get the blessings of God in the now because He's going to prove Himself faithful. Father, I delivered Your word today. Help us to walk by faith and to pray by faith, to learn like Jesus taught us, Lord, to step out of the dimension of our natural abilities and quit walking in the carnal lifestyle, but walk in faith, believing that all things are possible, that we can speak to our mountains and they will go. Father, I speak to the mountains of this church. I speak to the mountains of families here. I speak to the mountains, Father God, of those on the cross tonight. I speak to the mountains and I speak to them and I say, go, be cast, be removed, be thrown into the sea. And Father, we don't doubt. We're persuaded because Jesus, You taught us this divine principle, and that principle lives inside of us today. Father, bless Your people. Bless Ignite. Give them the ending of this week. Just let it be great to them. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice on media platforms, we love You. We bless You. And I speak the best for you to come in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I love you. See you Wednesday.